Good to be back on air following a big win up in Charlottesville last weekend. Joining us in studio is our new research analyst, Michael Tusky. Glad to have you involved. Good to have the feeling of coming off of a big win to open the season. We're glad to be back. Who's Talking goes behind the scenes to take a closer look at the Wahoo Athletic Program, and there's a lot to be smiling about these days, Jim. We plan to review the big win Saturday, the 34-13 win over the Richmond Spiders, and we also plan to preview the big road test coming up this weekend at the University of Southern California.
USC.
USC, the Trojans. Mike London's ongoing challenge to keep the Cavaliers focused. QB Mark Verica's chance to really shine on a big stage this weekend. And obviously the importance of winning that first game and getting the Cavaliers off to a good start. We're glad that you've joined us.
Absolutely. First coaching win debut since, what, Bill Elias in 1961, so almost 50 years since a Cavalier coach has won his first game in Charlottesville or first game as a Cavalier head coach. And just a terrific night, really. I looked on the stat sheet, 54-146, so a really, really good crowd, a beautiful evening in Charlottesville. We heard the clip of Dave Kane calling the touchdown pass from Verica to Chris Bird in the first half. Just a really, really great atmosphere. And tonight on the show, we probably should tell folks, we will be joined shortly by Daily Progress reporter and beat writer Jerry Radcliffe. Later, we'll be joined by former Cavalier Ahmad Hawkins. We'll have Dr. Thorpe Davis from West End Orthopedic join us in this first hour to talk a little bit about the injury report. And then in the second hour, we'll be joined by the Sabres executive editor, Chris Wright, who has a lot of insights into all Virginia sports. But tonight, we'll be talking football.
And to follow our show, there's a number of ways you can do that. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com, as well as thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to send their questions and comments regarding our show to our Facebook page. This is a slight departure from the past. We found that more folks have easier access to Facebook, so we encourage you to search Who's Talking on Facebook, become a friend of on our Facebook page, and write in their comments there. Also, you can always call us here in studio, and we encourage you to give us a call tonight as we have some terrific guests covering the width and breadth of the whole program. The number here is 345-0910. As most folks know, all of our shows are archived on thesaber.com, and we encourage you to if you missed the show for some reason, go back and listen to it on the archives.
And we do encourage the calls, 345-0910, and don't hesitate to call in and ask a question of one of our guests. You can also call in and ask a question of the host if you wish. Nevertheless, an opportunity to get your comments on the air or questions, whatever the case may be, we encourage and look forward to your participation. I think we may already have Jerry on the line, Frank, so if you want to go ahead and give a little further introduction to Jerry Radcliffe.
I think Jerry Radcliffe, I have not known him as long as you have, Jim, but I've certainly seen him for years, and I've read him for what seems like going on almost, he's headed towards his, third decade as either a writer or an editor for the Daily Progress up in Charlottesville, and certainly someone that has always had his finger on the pulse of UVA athletics and particularly University of Virginia football. So without further ado, let's bring on Jerry Radcliffe. Jerry, you there?
Yeah, remind me to send you a check for that introduction later.
Okay, I'll
very and the really good news, Jerry, is you weren't doing this when I was playing, so you don't go quite that far back.
Exactly.
You were probably still in diapers when I was playing.
I don't know if I was in diapers or not, but you were definitely one of my heroes growing up. Let's put it that way.
Well, listen, let's go ahead and go back to the game on Saturday night. What was your assessment of the Cavalier victory against Richmond?
Well, I thought Virginia, it was pretty much what I expected. I thought Virginia played a pretty solid football game. I think a lot of the question marks that we had going into the season, which Mark Verica we would see, and the old one that had turnovers at the end of the 2008 season, or the one that was pretty consistent up until that point, that's the one we ended up seeing. I think that was comforting minds of Virginia fans. And I think the offensive line seemed to have improved, although as I wrote in this morning's column, I don't think that we're going to really see or really be able to tell exactly what this football team is about until October when they play three straight ACC opponents, because I don't think they're as good as they may have been perceived after beating Richmond, and they're probably not going to be as bad as perceived after possibly getting their heads handed to them in Los Angeles later this week.
Let me jump in there and ask you this question there, Jerry. Can you remember a situation where a team in Charlottesville has had to play such a vast disparity in opponents in such a quick period of time? I mean, they're opening it up against certainly a terrific, highly ranked team there in Richmond in their division, so to speak, in their class of football. But now we're stepping up to playing the Hoos are going to play a traditional power, granted a team that's been penalized heavily by the NCAA, but still a team nonetheless that's still got a lot of name recognition on their roster and coming off a lot of 10-win seasons over the years.
Yeah, I don't have anything in front of me that I'd have to go back and look, but nothing off the top of my head just pops up as far as is that much of a disparity between programs. But you're right, I watched that Southern Cal and Hawaii game last weekend, and even though a lot of the guys, you know, listening to Lane Kiffin talk yesterday, he said, you know, you look and your backup linebacker is playing on Connecticut's roster this year. Your backup defensive end or fullback is starting for Tennessee. So they had a lot of guys that left the program that are playing, you know, elsewhere with the NCAA transfer rule for pro teams on probation. So, you know, there's a lot of those guys that have left the program, but there's still plenty of really quality football players left. You had to laugh. Mike London said yesterday, he said even their water boy looks fast. But you know, they did look very fast against Hawaii, which is a pretty fast team itself. And Hawaii has, I think, most of its really good receivers back from a year ago, and they're touting their quarterback out there as maybe the best quarterback they've ever had. So the fact that they put up 36, I guess, against Southern Cal's defense, you know, I don't know exactly how to gauge that, but I think, you know, Southern Cal has a pretty young secondary, so I think Hawaii was able to exploit that a little bit. But no, make no doubt, there's still plenty of second and third team guys on the USC roster that were high school All-American.
Yeah. Pretty talented group. You're listening to Who's Talking. We're joined by Jerry Radcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. If you have a question for Jerry, call us at 345-0910. Jerry, first of all, are you going out to Los Angeles?
No, sadly, this will be the first Virginia football game I've missed in 28 years.
Wow.
Part of the
economy, I guess, to some extent. But I guess relative to the team, I'm sure Coach London's objective and the team's objective is to go out there and win. But from your perspective, what would be a successful trip to California?
Yeah, well, I think the main reason we're not going is the time difference, because the game doesn't start till 10:30?
10:30 Eastern.
And so it won't be able to 1:45. We can't get it in the newspaper, so, you know. That's a corporate decision, but I think Virginia would have to consider it a successful trip if they can just go out there and still be hanging around and midway through the third quarter and show some, you know, be competitive, just to make them sweat a little bit, because the last time they played Southern Cal, obviously they took them, you know, the Trojans took them to the woodshed. It was 52 to something.
It was 21 to nothing before some people got to their seats from the concession stands. It was 21 exactly. Nothing pretty quick, and what, 52-7 is a final.
Hold on a second. In defense of the Virginia football program at that time, they had just suspended Jameel Sewell, and they'd inserted a freshman who played okay at the beginning of that game, but then he sort of dissolved in Pete Lalak, and you know where he's gone. I think circumstances are a whole lot different and may favor a surprise game this week. When you consider Mark Verica being a fifth year, he knows this is a great opportunity. If Hawaii can score 36 points, I got to believe that Chris Bird, Tim Smith, Dontrell Inman, Joe Torsia, and Perry Jones, they can get open for some passes. And if Verica can just keep his wits about him, I think Virginia can hang with these guys.
Frank comes out of the Mrs. Lincoln school. Other than the score, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the game?
How was the play?
He's finding a silver lining in a 52-7 loss. That's a true Wahoo right there.
Of course, my prediction last week was a whole lot closer to the final outcome than yours was, Jim.
Well, I have Richmond ties. I had to be conservative with the score.
Oh, please. You're
a lot more optimistic than I am, Frank. I don't know that Virginia's receivers are fast enough to get open against Southern Cal speed. Although, again, I think that they might be able, if there's any weakness that they might be able to exploit at all, it might be Southern Cal secondary, because they are starting a true freshman and two sophomores in their secondary. And if Virginia is to move the ball at all, it's probably going to have to come that way.
Well, Jerry, the one thing you'd look at, Hawaii did have 588 yards of total offense. So how did they do that mostly through the air? Or do you
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, they threw for over 400 yards. As Hawaii, usually
does. Yeah, they're a throwing team.
Yeah, they're a spread, throw it every down anywhere on the field team. And like I said, they think this guy might be the best quarterback they've ever had, and they've had – they've had two or three guys who rank in the top 15, I think, all-time NCAA passing leaders. So, and they do have experienced fast receivers. Hawaii actually had a lot of team speed, which may surprise some people. But they had some great speed on their team, and I think that gave Southern Cal some fits along the way. And the thing that's going to be interesting is to see what kind of adjustments and things that Monty Kiffin will do to try to fix that defense, because I'm sure he was a pretty upset guy after that game, giving up that kind of yardage and those kind of points.
Another thing that we have not talked about is obviously there's a lot of media scrutiny and a lot of negative press that's been going on for months now surrounding Southern Cal. There have been players that have left Southern Cal that were supposed to matriculate this summer and fall. They're down to 70 scholarships. A lot of people don't know that. They've been hammered by the NCAA. They're not going to play in a bowl game for a couple of years.
Jerry, by the way, matriculate is one of those UVA grad words. I don't know what it means either, so don't worry about it.
Jim keeps doing that, and I've yet to understand where he goes with that. Jerry, coming away from the game Saturday night, What do you think Mike London and his staff can hang their hat on as being strengths going into this game on Saturday out there in Los Angeles?
Well, I think one thing was that Verica played pretty much within himself, and I think that's really what they needed him to do. They didn't need him to take a lot of chances and try to force throws into coverage. He played a pretty smart game. He didn't turn the ball over. As Mike said, he didn't try to do anything heroic. He just, did what was required. They don't really need him to win games. They just need him not to lose games. And I think he did pretty good at that. I think he'll probably get better as the season goes along. But then again, the competition is going to get stiffer as the season goes along. I think the offensive line showed some improvement, which was encouraging to London and the offensive staff. I think Keith Payne was a pleasant surprise to everyone. Talking to Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, they hadn't planned on giving him the ball that much. But once, they looked up and saw that Richmond couldn't bring the guy down, he was carrying three, four, five guys in the pile, they said, hey, we're going to keep handing it off to him until they show that they can stop him, and they never really did. The defense played pretty solid, as most people thought they would. I guess the only kind of question marks was the fact that the kickers didn't look too good. They missed a couple from around the 50. One was woefully short, and one was woefully wide left. And the coverage teams were so-so. So I think that's something they'll probably try to focus on this week, because if you may have any breakdowns in your coverage kickoff and kickoff return coverage against a team with speed of Southern Cal, they can make you pay for it in a hurry.
Yeah, Jerry, the newspaper over here the other day or earlier this week said Michael Phillips mentioned Virginia rough around the edges. My reaction to that was, well, you know, they were 3-9 last year, and it is the first game of the year. So I think overall you have to be pretty happy with the performance. But nevertheless, hopefully this is the first of several visits of Jerry Radcliffe. Well, Frank's got one more quick question. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Jerry, Leroy Reynolds, linebacker, former defensive back. They've moved him up to linebacker. He made several tackles behind the line of scrimmage for loss, including a big play on fourth down. Would you say he was the surprise star, maybe slightly ahead of Chase Minifield's good play in lieu of the fact that Rozai Dowling could not play?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, with Dowling and McLeod both out, I think that was, the secondary held up well. But yeah, Reynolds, I think, a lot of people were wondering about what kind of guy he was going to be. Nobody knew much about him, except that he had been moved up from linebacker from a safety position. So, he showed a lot of speed, which that's the reason they moved him there, and he was pretty aggressive. And I would think he would probably have to be the defensive player of the game for Virginia, because he had a lot of tackles, and he was all over the field. I thought he did a terrific job. And, yeah, he was definitely the another big pleasant surprise for London and Jim Reed. So I think that I think if he can continue to progress, he might be that pass rusher a la Clint Sentum that they're looking for.
All right. We have had Jerry Radcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress join us. Jerry, thank you so much. We'll look forward to having you on in future weeks as the football season unfolds.
Thank you, Hobo, Frank. You guys have a good week. We'll see you later.
Look forward to it.
Thank you. All right.
We'll go to commercial break and be back, talk a little bit, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Ahmad Hawkins, former Wahoo.